Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Untangled, Unraveling the Lies Religion Tells Us About God and Ourselves. I'm here with my friend David Fredrickson, who is just overcoming frustrations with computer issues. How's it going, David?
I like the way you said he was overcoming.
Yes.
Was when you were saying that unravels, I was thinking, that's what I am, unraveled.
I know. I'm unraveling.
Yeah, something. Anyway, it's been a pretty smooth go as far as the move's going, as long as I stay away from technology. things are going well. So
you're not singing what's his name, Kip Dynamite, you know, Napoleon Dynamite's brother Kip, you know, you're not singing his hit song about how he loves technology, but I still love you, you see, but I still love technology.
You know what? I almost forgot about that one.
That should be your theme song.
Really? Wow. Yeah, I was looking around for some kind of, you know, homemade bomb I could put together real quick here. Computers, but
yeah, David and I have both been plagued with technology issues over the past week or so. He's had issues with his laptop. We've put in a new system at work, which of course is a quote-unquote upgrade, and it's given us a bunch of headaches in the process. So we're both kind of having our venting session over technology, but we're glad to be here with you. And before we started the podcast, David, we were talking about this week, talking about being instead of doing. And at first we said relaxing, but we realized, you know, that we'd be hypocrites if we did that one right now. So we'll just talk about being and doing. And David told me we can't use the word relaxing. So I have my finger on the censor button if we ever say that.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah, I think we're just it's so, what's a good way to put it? We're so performance oriented, you know,
yeah.
And when I say performance, I mean, obviously it that harks back to, you know, the system of religious obligation where you have to perform to do well and be accepted. But I wasn't even thinking necessarily about that, even though obviously it's the same thing. And we've talked about that kind of performance a lot. But just so often, just as human beings, I mean, this is just an absolutely human trait.
Yes.
Religious, non-religious, doesn't make any difference. A human trait is just the fact of doing. You know, we put the emphasis on whatever we do. And of course, doing is extremely important. You couldn't reach out to the poor. You couldn't. I mean, you know, all the things, so many things that Jesus talks about would not happen if you didn't do.
Yeah.
So obviously to do, and I mean, faith takes action, you know, and so basically doing is extremely important. So nothing we're, you know, going to talk about is putting that down. In fact, in some cases, more has to be said about that. You know, people will leave the religious system of obligation, and now that they have no obligation, they don't want to do anything, you know.
Right.
and that's fine if your life's not being transformed, because maybe there's nothing that productive that would come of it.
Right.
If you just said, oh wow, I'm free of being able to do anything, and now I just want to feed my flesh, well, you're probably not in a much of a position to bear much fruit. But the kind of the contrast, I guess, that has been on my heart lately is just the fact that when you are walking in Him and you're living loved and loving, you're walking in the Spirit, then you are producing fruit no matter what. And the doing will spring naturally out of that. In other words, there's no, you know, well, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do that. Very simple principle, and it sounds like, well, gee, that's obvious, but is it obvious?
Right.
You know, I don't think so.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, and so I just thought it might be an interesting thing to talk about, because again, it's so easy to see, well, you know, I'm not doing that, or you know, I'm not really reaching out to the poor or whatever, And that can be a good conviction if that's what, you know, God's speaking to you. But you could see a thousand things that could be done, and yet you can run out and do them. And I've tried that before. You know, I've thought, well, you know, I really should be doing this, you know, and so I go to do it, and it just seems like a dead work.
Right.
You know, even though I was doing it for, you know, I mean, I thought my motive was good and everything, but it just falls dead, or the door doesn't open up. You know, you want to help, you know, and so here you are wanting to help and reach out and everything, and the door shuts. And so, you know, it comes back to that thing of, then I have to look at my heart and say, okay, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, and so then you find out that, wow, wait a minute, you know, God makes an adjustment or something. And then you simply yield to him in your attitude and all of that. And then fruit comes out of it one way or the other. And it may not be in the way you thought that I should be doing this or that. But what happens is you will be a productive, fruitful individual. And so I just thought it'd be fun to kind of talk about, you know, what does it mean to be, you know, and
right.
And how do you just be, you know, and that kind of thing. And, you know, maybe some examples of how does doing naturally flow from being.
Yeah, because this is something that really is timely for me in the season of life that I'm in, because being a man in his 40s, you know, I often get hit with the driven thing of, you know, there's just that thing of, I don't know, just being in midlife where you start to wonder, am I leaving my mark on the world? You know, am I making an impact? Am I, you know, am I making a difference? Am I being fruitful? You know, just there's that thing where it, especially I think in this season of life, being in middle age, there's this thing that can really hit you if you're not careful of just a drivenness of doing stuff. I need to really do stuff, because, you know, the 40s are when, just according to like psychology, you know, your late 30s and 40s are when you start calculating the time you have left instead of the time you've lived. You know, when you're young, you're like, oh, I have a long time ahead of me. You're not thinking about counting the years, you know. Then you kind of hit middle age and you start going, oh, I've only got like, you know, 40 years left of life, maybe, you know, Lord willing, you know, that kind of thing. And so you start taking I guess looking at what you're really accomplishing. And I notice for me, I can really get hit with when I'll watch people who are doing, like, really doing fruitful things, or even just who, not necessarily even kingdom-oriented, who just in business or in or even institutional-wise, you know, are starting churches and pastoring and, you know, doing all this stuff. And I can start getting a worldly view on that. And I'll start kind of like going, wow, maybe I should do more, or there'll be even this sense of like trying to take that same thing that they're doing in all their works that may be in the flesh, and I'll start going, I'm going to do this, but in a relational world, you know. And so it's like, and that's why I relate to it in the sense of, yeah, I'm not in the institutional church anymore trying to build a ministry or, you know, whatever. But I think that thing of trying to make a name for yourself, it really kind of always hangs over us. If you're, you know, it's that demon that you have to slay. Just like how Jesus talked about dying to yourself, you know, taking up your cross, that really is so prevalent in maybe not just our society, but I think in human nature. You know, that's why you see men build monuments to themselves and stuff. And it's very easy to, even when you're out of the system, to still try to find that thing to make a name for yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's so true, because I think, see, when you say make a name for yourself, it's like an identity issue as well as just the sense of, well, you know, I should be producing food in this area. You know, that is, because there can be two motives, you know, there's an identity thing, that has to do with your self-worth. There's an identity thing that has to do with who you are, you know, I mean, what you become, I should say, you know, and then there's also just that sense of obligation, even though you're not a religious obligation, you don't think, but the obligation of, wow, you know, you see people, like, say, in areas that don't have to do with so much your identity or your, you know, or look at what they've accomplished, but they're self-sacrificing, you know, reaching out to the poor and doing things that, you know, just like, whoa, you know, I mean, really giving their life for this and that, which is wonderful. By the way, I sure am not putting that down. But you see that and you're not doing that. And so there can be a guilt of not doing. And then there's an identity issue.
Exactly. You know,
so you've got these two things going on. And so it's so easy to get distracted by either of those two calls, you know, or those two pulls, I should say. And so again, it gets back to that point of just saying, wait a minute, you know, I can do nothing.
Right.
And you talk about your 40s. Well, in my situation, I think in my 40s, if I can remember right, it seems like I was moving in my own estimation, I was moving ahead. Things were expanding, whatever. In the ministry, and of course, I was in the institution, all this kind of stuff. And,
right.
And traveling and building and growing the church more, all this kind of stuff. But with me, it's happened in my old age. You talk about taking account, like I only have so many years left. I mean, with me, woo, you know, being in my 60s, very recently went through a real place of feeling like just nothing, you know, and just being brought to point zero, literally, just feeling like, whoa, you know, I mean, I hear there's not many years left, and I just feel like a zero. And I began to realize, though, in the middle of it, you know, that, whoa, you know what, this is this is a place of obviously needing to draw into him, you know, because he doesn't need me.
Yeah.
You know, and I got that message, you know, a while ago. He doesn't, and you get that, and you think, yeah, okay, I understand that. Fine. You know, and it doesn't hit you that hard. And then things begin to sink in. Then he starts to strip you of things. You
know? Right.
He starts to, and all of a sudden, you know, and you your faults that you thought some that, you know, you had kind of, you overcome that area of frustration or negativity or whatever. It just seems to have gotten better and better as you yield to him. And then you get in a situation where it just pops up and it seems like nothing's changed at all. You know?
Right.
So I had this whole combination of things going on in my life where I'm just going like, man, I don't know how else to say it, but at point zero, I'm nowheresville, you know?
Right.
Not accomplishing anything, not becoming more like Jesus, not being, you know, don't know what the next step is, can't be inspired to write, can't do that. You know, I mean, just you name it. Everything that I had a sense of self-worth in was just like zero. And, you know, even when things are happening, producing, when you get in that place, you don't see it, or, you know, you belittle it almost.
Right.
You know, so that you don't notice it. And so it's like you just total point zero. But, you know, in all that, it comes down to what you already know in your mind and what we talked about so many times, you know, even on this podcast, is like, you know, it totally comes down to love, period. And we say that, it's so easy to say, but basically, it's not easy to live.
No. You know?
Because love is, it's, as we mentioned before, it's the opposite of self. And so, you know, that means that it doesn't matter whether you're accomplishing a thing. You know, the whole thing is, are you living loved? Are you receiving God's love? And are you walking in it? And if you are, then it doesn't matter what you see or can't see or do or don't do. you are producing food somewhere, somehow. And I think that's what, that's kind of, I guess, what I wanted to get to, because I mean, you know, we talked about being and doing before, and, you know, there's such a deep place in that, because it's like we're going, okay, maybe I can believe this principle, but if you couldn't see it, if you couldn't see it happen, then do you really believe it's happening?
Yeah.
And I think that's because this thought came to me the other day. It occurred to me. I thought, you know what? I thought of that scripture that says, but I don't even think I thought of the scripture first. I just thought of the principle. But the scripture is, you know, unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it falls into the ground and dies, it you know, bears much fruit, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking about that, and it occurred to me that, you know what? Death to self is just simply learning to love, is what it is. You know, we go to this big thing, you know, through this big thing of, I gotta die to self. You know, I gotta die to self.
Right.
And so what you do is you, basically, though, what all God's requiring is that you receive his love and walk in it. And when you do that, then death comes. But the funny thing is, that it's not funny. The thing is that it's painful, even though all you're doing is focusing on love. But love leads you into journeys, inward journeys and outward journeys.
That, yeah.
You just, in other words, you don't die easily.
No.
There's no such thing as dying easily. No matter what path you take, no matter how obedient you are or yielded in it, you do not die easily. Dying is always painful, always.
Right.
You know, and of course, walking in love, you know, takes every area, you know, loving everybody that you hear about in the news, that you face, that treat you bad, that, you know, lied about you, that you, not only all that, but it also has to do with your thoughts. It has to do with when it even isn't toward anybody, but just frustration, because are you loving God in that? Are you loving yourself? Are you, I mean, you know, it covers every area of your life. Everything you think, do, don't do, it covers everything. And so you'll be led through all of those areas, and you know, it's a painful thing. It's a stripping. But this thought came to me about getting back to that scripture. And I'm sorry for going on so long here. If you just want to interrupt me at any point, just interrupt me. But that scripture, I thought, well, that's interesting, because here's the deal. If you were secluded on an island and nobody else was on the island and you had no phones or anything and there was no paper to write that would be found letter to bless, you know, later to bless somebody, right? And yet you were walking in love, you know, toward God, and self was being removed. And I say that, not that we have to focus on the morbid, but unless a seed falls into the ground and dies, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we know that death process, you can't really walk in love unless you go through the death process. You can't. So you're walking in death to self. You've lost everything. You're on an island secluded. And even there, you don't try to make it so that you try to make up for it somehow. You're just walking in love.
Right.
Yes, you can. That you would be bearing fruit. Even though you can't speak to anybody, can't write a letter to anybody, and nobody's on the island.
Wow.
You would still. And I just say that because it's just maybe some kind of interesting or unique thought, but to emphasize the fact that you cannot help but bear fruit if you're walking in love, which brings you to death to self. You can't. If a seed falls in the ground and dies, it abides, you know, if it doesn't fall in the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it falls in the ground, it will bear much fruit, and you can't even stop it. So what that does is it connects you basically to what the kingdom of God really is. It's something that cannot be defined in any way in earthly terms. Because when you function in the kingdom, even though it's not complete around you as far as people, but where it isn't complete, God makes up for, you know, then you release his spirit to people everywhere, wherever, whatever, however God wants to do it, even though you're isolated. And again, not saying that to come up with somebody, well, isn't that interesting? I could be in an island. That's not the point. I just share that to say that you can't miss it. You can't miss it. And how different that is than what can I do?
Right.
Because on that island, well, now it's true. On that island, you could be interceding for people. And that's a whole nother subject. We know how powerful intercession is. You know, but I mean, even if somehow you couldn't, of course you could, because even if you couldn't speak, you could in your mind. but the point I'm making is even without intercession, because you wouldn't be interceding 24 hours a day, right? So even when you weren't interceding, you would be producing fruit. And again, just to make the point that you can't miss it, that it really doesn't matter what you do or don't do, or what your opportunities are or aren't. It's a matter of, in the kingdom of God, you can't lose if you walk in love. You can't lose. You will produce fruit no matter what you do or don't do.
Yeah. See,
and it's just something to concentrate on because of the big identity issues we have.
So yeah. I think that's so massive and so important for everybody, including myself, to get a hold of, because I think this message is really timely, because I just have seen so many people, including myself, wrestle with the same things you were talking about, David, of just that feeling of just being a zero, you know? I mean, you know, last week I sent you this email because I was just totally discouraged and just felt like I just don't want to do anything anymore, you know? I went through this whole thing because I want to open this up, just sharing my own weaknesses and stuff, because I'm sure it's going to bless some people out there, because we're all human, you know, and we go through the same things and face the same battles. And you know, it was like, you know, I had it years ago. My whole dream, you know, was I'm going to be the next Steven Spielberg, you know, and that's worked out very well for me. And, you know. But, you know, the whole thing was, you know, that was huge in me. And then there was the desire, you know, to have you want the ministry that impacts thousands, you know, and all that kind of stuff, you know, that gets in us and the dreams that we have and that kind of thing. And a while back, you know, I started seeing some brothers who were going forward in big areas, you know, and doing things that I had always dreamed of doing, you know, making movies and, you know, doing stuff like that. And my wife was here and she heard me because I kind of just vented on her, and I go, I feel like I'm completely unnecessary. I go, I feel like in the body of Christ, I'm just completely unnecessary. I don't, and this isn't that long ago, everybody, just so you're not thinking, oh, this is 20 years ago, you know. I was just feeling like, you know, I'm not even necessary. I don't know why I'm here. I'm taking up space. You know, I guess I'm just existing, you know. It's funny, you know, to laugh about now, but it's like, you know, that depression was so huge, and it's all wrapped up in that whole identity thing you're talking about, David, of like just feeling like, you know, we are what we do, you know, instead of like you said, the whole thing is living love and receiving his love. And in his love, we can't help but bear fruit. But here's the problem is, I think a lot of times we're looking for a particular like type of fruit. You know, I want to see, you know, massive movies being produced, or you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it's like we don't understand that the fruit we're producing is eternal, but it's not necessarily something that tangible we're seeing in front of us right now.
Right. That's good. Yeah. And it isn't, and that's our earthly concept that we cling to, is it has to be tangible. And the kingdom of God, in that sense, I know the kingdom of God, you know, includes everything that we do in touching people and so forth. But I'm talking about the principle of the kingdom in the largest sense. It has no relationship to earthly principles. It has none. And so it's something that again, like I said earlier, it can't be defined even accurately with human words. It really can't, you know, because the kingdom is so different in the sense of, well, let's just take time and space, okay? We live in a relative world. Everything's relative. And so what we do is when we think of progress, moving forward, you know, progress, forward, all the words we use, it's on a linear basis.
Right.
You know, we're looking to get from point A to point whatever, you know. And so basically the kingdom of God doesn't work that way. It's not linear. With God, there's no time. There's no space. He's everywhere at once. And so since time is measured by space and speed, there is no time. So, you know, somebody had asked me, well, you know, how could it be that God, you know, is eternal and suddenly he decides he wants a friend in man, you know?
Yeah.
And somebody else asked me, actually a guy that's, you could call him a theologian, you know, I mean, he's PhD and everything. A few days ago, he says, do you think we were eternally present with the Father, you know, before he breathed into man? Not getting on a rabbit trail here, but the point being, I'm going, well, I don't think that since God doesn't live in linear existence, and if you had to make a diagram, which you really can't, but if you had to make a diagram, which is an earthly thing, you show man on a linear path and you show God as a circle. You know, the linear represents time, takes so much to get from point A to point B. God, no. So therefore, God being eternal, being no time, that means whatever exists now, whatever man, whatever was always in his mind. He didn't live for 8 billion years and suddenly say, woo, this 8 billion years gone by and, you know, I'm missing out on, you know, having man for a friend. Think I'll create him.
Right.
Didn't think about it for 8 billion years, but, you know.
So. He went through his 8 billion year life crisis.
Right. So I'm going, this sounds like it's a rabbit trail, but it really isn't, because the point I'm making is the kingdom of God is so different than our earthly understanding of values, because we live in space and time where everything is relative. And,
yeah.
And so in the kingdom, everything is relative to God, who is the I am. You know, he's not the I do, the I will. You know, I mean, yes, he makes promises because he's talking to us in our linear place. So sometimes he says, I will do this or that. But with him himself, it's not I am, I will, you know, I will, I do, I will. No, he is. He's the great I am always. And so we live in God, who is love.
Yeah.
And so our problem is measuring worth, measuring time, measuring how old we are and what we've accomplished, measuring all this, you know, we have this much time left, all this kind of stuff that is an earthly measurement that doesn't exist in the kingdom.
Yeah.
And so, and when I say that, I understand that the kingdom comes to earth as it is in heaven, therefore, you know, things that are on a linear or achievement basis happen in the kingdom, okay? But the measurement is not there. And
yeah.
So that's where we so blow it. And that's where our identity has to be completely based in Christ, you know? And because otherwise we make false measurements. We have no idea. And we start, we get encouraged with what we do and discouraged when we don't, rather than say, wait, no, my encouragement is that I live in him and he is love. And I simply walk in love. I receive love, I walk in love, and in doing so, I produce much fruit. And whatever I'm supposed to do, I'll be motivated to do by love. Because that God doesn't want the things anyway, like he said, even in the Old Testament. You know, he's not interested in lip service. He's not interested in any of that. He's not interested in morality. He's not interested in doing the right thing. He's not interested in any of that. He's interested in producing fruit by love, by the power of his spirit through love. That's what he's interested in us. And so none of those other things does he want as offerings. And when we catch that in our spirit concerning the kingdom, then identity or doing or accomplishment takes on a whole new understanding.
Right. Well, it's like how Paul wrote about, you know, though I do all these great things, you know, deliver my body, be burned, and speak in the tongues of men and angels and all this stuff, if I have not love, it profits me nothing.
Exactly.
You know, and it's interesting, too, because just looking through the you know, the decades and centuries that have gone by, you know, you think of, you know, you hear of like Paul and you hear of Peter and, you know, you hear of the different, you know, people that we mark as great saints and stuff like that. But, you know, I can't help but think of who are all the nameless people throughout time that you and I have never, ever, ever heard of.
Exactly.
And yet God considers them just incredibly powerful in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And well, you know, and when we step into eternity, you know, you'll meet some guy named Artemis or something, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
And they'll be like, oh, he was the great Saint Artemis, you know, and what did he do? Well, he was a potter that lived in this little village in Africa, and he, you know, and he just loved the people around him and loved God with all his heart, you know?
Yes. Yeah.
And he'll be like, really? You know, and but he will have just truly known the Father and truly, you know, his love will have just been pouring out of him.
Yeah. And see, the other thing about the doing attitude that is so dangerous, even not just destructive to ourselves, but dangerous, because then, you know, people are always looking for something new and greater when they get old. And it's like the drivel that you see sometimes. And I won't mention names, but from some of these well-known prophets, you know, and the stuff they're coming up with sometimes these days is just unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
It's like getting bored, and so you got to do something else. So they make these crazy connections to things that are happening, even with it could be a football game.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, you know, I mean, just drivel. And it's like and compare and making it like something's going to happen, you know, some move of God, because if so and so wins the Super Bowl, and I'm talking about well known that many people follow,
yeah.
And you come up with this stuff, this absolute junk, and you get let it. And I've known of others, and some have been had very fruitful lives in other, and you know, but they've, you know, it's like. And to the point where God blessed with real signs and wonders, not fake-o stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, real healings and healings of cancer, all this kind of stuff and wonderful things. And then they go further, and pretty soon they're, you know, they're laying on the graves of old men of God trying to get their spirit. You know, and some, you know, and we're not talking about some little, you know, cultish thing in somewhere, or some small thing where people become a little cult, you know, and they do all kinds of weird stuff. No, we're talking about some of the main leaders in the body of Christ.
Yeah, you know, it's happening now.
Exactly. And things, you know, and people are, you know, pretty soon they start talking to the dead or whatever and get totally off, because there's got to be, well, you know, so much of this is happening. Maybe something starts to fall off a little bit or whatever. And so you got to go another step here. And more has to be done, and the prophecies have to be greater. And it's not only self-destructive, you know, and discouraging when we put our thing in doing rather than being. It not only keeps us from ever being transformed and growing to the point that God has us for, where we are producing much fruit, but it can lead astray into stuff that's simply antichrist.
Yeah.
You know? And so, anyway, I mean, we've gone on for some time here, but I think this is an extremely foundational subject that isn't really talked about that much in the context that we're putting in right
now.
Well,
it's not, because it goes against our you know, our carnal nature. You know, our carnal nature is to get bigger, better, faster, stronger, more well-known, you know, all that stuff. And what you're talking about is the complete opposite. It's the message Jesus spoke, you know, and Jesus didn't write one thing about himself, you know, and yet it's so overlooked because we want to craft it, you know, even just our worldly cultures, you know, like the in America, you know, it's all about, you know, going bigger and making a name for yourself and stuff. So we've Americanized the gospel. So we kind of cut out the parts we don't like and the thing of being that just doesn't cut it. And especially if you have a ministry to build, you don't want people to be, you need people to do.
Yeah,
so the last thing you want to do is spread a message of doing. And I'll just close out with this because we're running out of time, but it's like, I remember sharing, you know, how you and I, David, were constantly talking about the whole thing of people feeling like they have to earn their salvation or you know, doing works and doing stuff and for God, trying to keep score with God, feeling like God's keeping score. Mm. And I had someone respond, go, why do you keep saying that? Because I don't feel that way. I don't see that. And yet this person was somebody who would never miss a Sunday service and never, and was constantly highly active in all kinds of activities. But I'm not judging, because I was going, I was just like that. And I would think the same thing. I'm not trying to earn my salvation. I'm not trying to earn points with God. And yet that's the whole thing. That's the message that's so driven into us, is that you need to be driven if you're truly a follower of Christ, where Jesus' message was the complete opposite, where his was, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's that you're not driven. You don't have that carnal push to be somebody. You're able to be instead of do.
Yes.
And so that's completely contrary to the Christianity that we've been taught. So
it's good.
Anyway, I enjoyed this, bro.
I did too.
Well, everybody, thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.